from 2:30 till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Each week brings a different host with a different perspective on the music, both old and new. Jazz on the Air, Sunday afternoons at 2:30 p.m. on WUSB Stony.
Yes, yes, indeed, indeed, indeed. This is WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 megahertz on the FM dial, streaming live at WUSB.FM. It is 5:59. I'm going to call it 6 o'clock. I think it's safe to say that it's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and that means it's time for Off the Wall. Hello, yes. Welcome to Off the Wall. This is a talk program here on WSB with Emmanuel Goldstein. I'm Kyle, running the technique. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, you're asking me. You already introduced me, so I have nothing to say. I can't say this is Emmanuel because you already said with Emmanuel, so you kind of took away my one line.
No, I did not.
I think you did.
I introduced the show, and the actors who act on the show, and was ready for your retort.
This show's going to suck. Let's just put it out there right now. This show is not going to be good. If you're looking for good radio this hour, folks, don't tune here because we're going to be increasingly deteriorating, I think. The reason I say that is because... And I said I wasn't going to do this again, but there comes a point, you know, where you have to say, okay, but, you know, within reasonable boundaries, I said, if you torture somebody and you say to yourself, I'm not going to scream next time he jabs me with that thing because, you know, I'm strong. But if they really go to town on you, at some point you have to break the promise and scream because it's just too much for a human to bear. And that's how I feel about the temperature situation in this radio station, because I said I wasn't going to complain about it, but come on, Stony Brook. Really? It's over 100 degrees Fahrenheit in this place, if it's a degree at all. And it's very hard to concentrate on what you're thinking about, what you're doing. Our equipment is failing left and right. Thank you, Stony Brook, for that. Why? Why in God's name must this happen every year, summer and winter? We have all this heat pump. It's like they're trying to send us a message. And I'm not sure what... I have a feeling what the message is, but I can't say it on the radio.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything.
See?
But...
See? Already.
Yeah. It's almost like they got all the complaints at once, like... The queue finally overflowed, and then they all got sent at once, and somebody really overreacted and really cranked up the heat.
Complaints about what? Too much oxygen?
It being cold, or
it's
at least...
It's not cold! For God's sake, it's 70 degrees outside!
Let me finish.
Oh my God!
The cold season, the uh-huh. season when it should be cold, that's what I mean by that, and... It's not cold, but there. Okay, maybe there were no complaints. Okay, there
so
it is.
Wait,
it's just some sort of automatic thing.
You're
that the
saying
university
some
does.
Dumbass in the physical plant turned on the heat because it's December, even though it's 70 degrees outside. And
right.
And now we have to pay the price.
Right. They can't not for some asinine, crazy engineering reason. Maybe they need one of those smart thermostats. I don't know, but that's. That's my theory so far.
You know what really gets me is that I got four pieces of email today from Stony Brook wanting money from me to spread the excellence more, and I'm going to get a couple of phone calls tonight doing the same thing. They're relentless.
Why on earth would they need money from you?
Yeah, because apparently they think that I support football teams or something.
Oh.
You know, didn't we have...
You did a football special, yeah.
No, we had an ingenious idea on how we could actually get studio space for this place. You know, we're moving out of this building within the next year, and the university will not tell us where we're going or if we're going anywhere. Who knows what the plan is? But if we were a football team or if we were a sports entity of any sort, we could get all the space we wanted. They're building buildings, towers, monuments, statues for anything sports related. And I think our plan was we just...
Well, it's a new radio drama themed around football.
No, that wasn't it. You degrade yourself by not recognizing the genius idea that you played a part in coming up with. Indoor football, that's what it was. We need an indoor football practice room that's the size of a football field. And we can get that. We just say that we're an indoor football team and that we need to practice and we need all this space, and then we quietly build walls and studios when they're not looking. And
you're
if
right.
If they do look, we say that's the other part of the football game is broadcasting.
For stretching. You need a lot of room to stretch. You know right? It's you're right. It's coming back.
Uh-huh.
it's coming back to me. That was a good plan. And so look out for the new WUSB indoor football training facility with recording studio.
More like look for the WUSB staff.
Band practice space.
Right. Well, more like look for the USB staff on the side of the road hitchhiking because we don't have a home. Yeah, that's all I got right now. In case it sounds like an airline in here, it's because we have all these fans going, hoping that we'll get some air going in this place. You don't notice it on most programs because most programs play music, and they turn the microphones off.
Go out for air.
Yeah, but the CD players are not going to survive this heat. I'll tell you that right now. They're already you can't touch them.
They're trooping along. Yeah,
it's bad enough when you're in an overheated room. It's really terrible when you're in an overheated room that has a lot of electronic equipment, because A, that electronic equipment is fragile, and B, it generates heat as well. Hence the over 100 degrees Fahrenheit temperatures we describe. Okay, but nobody cares about this.
Apparently.
Nobody cares, and I'm wondering if I even care. There are other things going on in the world, and we're going to try and focus on that. We're going to try and take phone calls, too, if that works.
Okay, I'm ready for both those scenarios, so all
right.
Go for it.
Well, right now, at this very moment, there are people in a room someplace that has sufficient oxygen and moderate temperatures. And they don't deserve it because they're Republican candidates for president, and they're starting their the kids' table debate from started at 6. So yeah, but wait, before you jump on the radio, turning it off and turning on the TV to watch this, it's not going to be that exciting. I mean, it's what, Huckabee, it's Pataki, one other, I think. Well, we lost Bobby Jindal, he's gone. No, we lost him in the election, that is. There's one other. Oh, yeah, Lindsey Graham, that's it. So I think that's everybody. Lindsey Graham and Mike Huckabee and George Pataki are doing the kids' table debate. And then at 8 o'clock is the debate with, you know, the regular cast of characters, of course, led by Donald Trump. You know, we talked about this last week. I talked about how it wasn't funny anymore, and it still isn't funny. It really isn't funny, the things he says. And the reaction and kind of the scary march to fascism that we're kind of witnessing right now. But I think, you know, I'm optimistic because more people are speaking out against this sort of thing. The French elections went well. The runoffs from the week before when the National Front was front and center, well, it turns out the French got a little sense in their heads, and in the runoff they finished third. So they have much, much less of a possibility of controlling the country than they did a week ago. So I'm happy about that.
Thankfully. Thank you, yes.
I wish we could have 1 week to think over, do you really want to go this way before we actually make bad decisions?
Mm.
But we still have almost a year of this to go. But the Trump debate, that's what I'm calling it, the Trump, because that's all people are going to be talking about is what he says and what he does. In fact, the questions even have his name in it sometimes. Donald Trump said this. How do you react to that? What would you do differently? You know, everything is about him because he gets the headlines. I intend to watch it, though. I intend to see what he says, what he does. But I think it's incumbent upon the other candidates to destroy this guy. And I mean that. I said that on the other show last week. It's important to step up to somebody who's saying these hateful, ignorant things and make sure that that doesn't stand, that doesn't become normal. And right now, people being so timid as far as, I don't want to get him mad at me because then my ratings will go down. At some point, you have to cut your losses and stand up for what's right. And I'm looking for somebody to do that tonight. Somebody to just look him dead in the eye and say, "What in God's name is wrong with you?" You know, just even that, just one sentence, I'd be happy with. But you could go on for a good half hour, listing all the crazy things that this guy has done and said, and his entitlement and just overall ignorance and bullying. That kind of thing's got to be challenged at every step, whether it's in sixth grade or on the presidential campaign trail. We don't see enough of that.
Yeah, and it's not just him. I think it's also the movement that is trying to be, I don't know, affirmed or recognized, I don't know, validated
mm-hmm.
through this process, because that segment of the voting populace really ought to be challenged, I think, because the perspective is, it's unfortunate, and then, I don't know, it's not getting enough pushback.
Uh-huh.
We're kind of, the high road, I think, is all right, but we really have to open it up in an academic way, really look at what's being said here and why it should not be allowed to persist in adult forums.
Yeah, because they are supposed to be for adults. it is for children, except I don't want to insult children by saying that this is their level. It's just so simplistic and ridiculous that this is the conversation level we have in something so important. I only wonder what the rest of the world thinks of us. It must seem so absurd and ridiculous to them. But let me just say to those people, it's absurd and ridiculous to us as well. It's just that sometimes reasonable voices get drowned out by all the hysteria. Oh, and I have a good example of that today. There was, you might have heard of this. There were some school closings today, and not because of snow or adverse weather of any sort, just because of a little hysteria in the air. In Los Angeles, they closed all of the schools. They closed 1,000 schools today. Why, you ask? I know you're about to ask this, Kyle.
I have a guess.
Okay.
Smog.
That's a good guess. That's a real good guess. But I know damn well that you know that's not the answer. Because you saw the story, too. No, they closed the schools because of a threat of violence to students somewhere in the Los Angeles Unified School District. They didn't know which school. The threat was made via email sometime late Monday. It was sent to a few Los Angeles school board members. Since they didn't go into specifics as to which school is going to be attacked, other than mentioning explosive devices and assault rifles and machine pistols, whatever that is. They didn't know more than that, so they figured the safest thing to do would be to close all the schools. Well, interestingly enough, New York City got the exact same threat. They got an email threat as well. New York City authorities, however, opted to keep public schools open today because they believed almost immediately that it was a hoax. Police Commissioner William Bratton said of Los Angeles, "I think it was a significant overreaction." He also happened to have been chief of the LAPD between 2002 and 2009. Now, Bratton said his investigators believe it's a hoax for several reasons, such as, and here's a good one, the first letter of Allah being uncapitalized. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to capitalize the A. Los Angeles schools, which are the second largest district after New York City, announced a system-wide closing after receiving what was termed a credible threat. And Mayor de Blasio said of that same threat, "It is not credible. Our school system remains fully open." He also said, after looking at the email, "This is a very generic piece of writing, and the threatened violence is not plausible. It's very important not to overreact in situations like this," he said. Oh, snap. Wow. It's on between New York and Los Angeles, between overreacting and acting reasonably. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, Kyle? You think this was the right reaction to close down all the schools because of this threat?
Yeah, because of all the stuff that's been going on in California, doesn't shock me at all.
Doesn't shock you, but is
no,
it?
I mean, they've got all sorts of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
They had this Bernardino disaster, so it doesn't shock me that they would respond by shutting school down. I mean, similar things are going on in Belgium after the attacks in Paris. I think it was a full week that students weren't in school.
Yeah, well, there was, you know, in that particular case, they were looking for people that were still involved with the, with those actual acts. I still think it was a bit of an overreaction what happened in Brussels the week after, but I could understand that a little bit more. Just because you have some crazy people in San Bernardino shooting down coworkers, and it's not that unusual for this country. The fact that there was a link, and the only real link was somebody saying, "Hey, I agree with what ISIS or ISIL or Daesh, what they're doing."
Right.
That was the only link. It's not like they were sent by that organization. They just decided, hey, we want to be accepted by them, and we're going to say that this is why we did it. Just like the guy who stabbed a few people in the underground in London.
Yeah.
He's a terrorist only because he said this is for Syria. That's all you need. If he had just stabbed some people, we would never even heard about the story. But because he said this is for Syria, that elevates it. And I think it's really kind of bizarre and weird how in this country and throughout the world, things only seem to take on gravity when it's terrorist related. How is it? You know, this is the anniversary of the Sandy Hook shooting in Connecticut.
Right.
Far more of a terrorist act in my eyes than anything in San Bernardino. I think twice as many people were killed, and most of them are kindergarten kids. It's, you know, terror is terror, regardless of the reasoning behind it. And just because somebody says this is because I don't like the political situation in this particular part of the world, don't think that makes it any more important than something that is, you know, a fight over a bag of Skittles that turns into something uncontrollable. That happens so much in this country. It's if every single incident of gun violence was treated with that kind of gravity, I think we would not have as much gun violence. I think people would say, hey, wait, we got a real problem here. We have to do something about this. But because we don't do that, it's just considered normal, par for the course. And the exceptions are when somebody invokes a Middle Eastern name of one sort or another. So, I don't know. That bugs me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I absolutely see your distinction. And it's an important one to make that it certainly is a different style of violence associated with some cause or another, whether it's related or some sort of long-planned thing or the timing. That's all, I mean, to something people can come up with. We'll leave that. We'll probably look back at that and after it's investigated and, you know, there will be lengthy reports about it. But I think for the amount of edge that that area was put on, I mean, they wanted it, right? What would you call escalating alert levels sort mm-hmm. of thing? That's actually going on this week. They're changing the alert system around.
Have they told us what they're going to change it to yet?
It's weird because the color coding was out at the beginning of the administration, but it wasn't very clear what they replaced it with, and now they're upgrading the one that wasn't clear.
I heard a rumor it's going to be animal-based.
Oh, that's cool.
Like bear is like the one you have to really... Grizzly bear, I think,
yeah.
is at the top.
But yeah,
and squirrel is the one that you'll never be at because it's harmless and no real threat.
And then there's like lamb and piggy.
Well, if you want to go for a comical terror alert level, yeah, I guess piggy would be one.
Well, let's just say it's not a linear scale. It's more of like a mind map, a thought map. Anyway.
There are no wrong answers, like kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's open to interpretation.
Yeah, right. Positive terror reinforcement, terror threat level reinforcement.
All right, well, thanks, Obama. I like
it's,
that one.
It's a natural, homeopathic anti-terror preparedness.
Well, can I just...
Suffice to say, though, no.
Can I just finish this story?
Go ahead.
You're talking about the hint of terrorism, the hint of... Of something bigger, which is what makes these people go a little, you know, hysterical when something like this happens. The letter supposedly was signed an extremist Muslim. Now, I don't know a whole lot about extremist Muslims or a terrorist of any sort, but I do know that you probably wouldn't sign the letter that way. I saw somebody on Twitter said this, and I don't usually quote Twitter, but in this particular case, I think it deserves to be quoted. Signing a terrorist threat, an extremist Muslim, is the same thing as bringing in a report card signed Timmy's dad. it's not believable. It's not something that that you really can say seriously is real. And that is what New York said. New York said, this is ridiculous. It's like a plot from Homeland, and not a very good one either. And we're just going to ignore it. And schools stayed open in New York. We're one day ahead of Los Angeles now as far as education goes. And Los Angeles kids stayed home. Oh, and by the way, the superintendent said, I, as superintendent, am not going to take a chance with the life of a student. Sad post note to this. At least one kid was hit and killed by a car because he was out in the streets instead of in school.
Oh, wow, that's too bad.
I saw that on the news. And that's what you have to... I was watching this, kind of in shock, as kids are being turned away from schools. And, of course, you had to get the parents to come and pick them up so that they weren't turned over to terrorists or whatever. But that meant all these people were converging on the schools, and all this driving and panicking was taking place. That's kind of a dangerous situation right there. You don't need terrorists for that. Yeah. I don't think they were really thinking about all the side effects of this particular reaction.
Well, yeah, and it's almost like they got... The wrong people were sort of on watch when you know, evaluating this threat information came across. And I dare say, I mean, it's likely to me that maybe people looking at that kind of threat stuff in New York, they have a bit more of an academic kind of, they really go through it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to invoke, you know, last 10 years because I just did, but... just at any point, I just feel like there's more eyeballs that would be involved in that. Whereas in California, maybe it's more like some sheriff departments, and maybe they're not quite up to snuff. I mean, I would definitely say maybe, you know, a handful of people in California made the call, whereas in New York, de Blasio, you know, laughing at it, was after many other people. double-checked and that kind of thing. So it's kind of crazy, but it is the distinction, and it is like the really bright people out in California were like, they were off duty this time of week.
Where do you draw the line? This guy said he wasn't going to take a chance on any of the kids in the district, so it's the entire district. It's 1,000 schools. You know, it's not just one school. It's 1,000 schools. Well, what if the threat was, you know, it's going to happen to a school somewhere in the country? So do we just close down all the schools then? Because we don't want to take a risk with any child's life?
It would be, I think, chaotic, and that's why I think the distinction you make is also illustrates the diversity and sort of local departments and how it really works. We don't really have a centralized system or policing system. So it's, you know, the local departments that interpret information that's distributed nationally. So how it actually gets implemented is actually really interesting. Mm-hmm. We see this with protests. We see this with all kinds of responses in our country. So that's something to watch, something definitely to watch, and very interesting. Hopefully they get some more eyeballs on these situations and things calm a bit out there. But
yes. I set a timer. I'm just checking in to see how you're doing with the heat. You need to do that every few minutes. If you're in a hostile environment, such as under the hot sun in the desert, which is what we're pretty much in right now.
Heat stroke, I hear.
A heat stroke is a thing. So you need to check in and make sure that people are okay, alert.
No,
it's 2 + 3.
5.
Okay, good.
Cheers to that.
I have to do that sometimes just to make sure that you're still alert.
4 × 4.
4 × 4 is 16.
Okay. All right.
Think I'm stupid?
6 × 4.
Wait, I asked you one question. It's 24, but I asked you one question. All right. Let's not make this harassment.
All right.
I know my rights. All right. You know, a couple stories that I wanted to get to in the last couple of weeks, but we didn't have time, and now we do, because, you know, when things are super hot, time goes slower.
Yeah.
Einstein wrote something about that. I don't understand it myself, but apparently if you're on the sun, you'll feel like you're there forever. Time will simply drag.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on Pluto, though, time will go fast, but it won't make a difference because you're on Pluto. Just something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
This is a story about Amtrak and Long Island. This was in Newsday. And we both got very excited by this because it's an actual... You know, sometimes there are plans that actually sound like something cool, something that could actually make a difference in your life and improve things. It never happens, yeah, but sometimes you hear about them, and, of course, it happens in other parts of the world, but it's just exciting when you hear about something that at least someone's thinking about. And what they're thinking about here is a plan to bring Amtrak to Long Island and Connecticut via a bridge or tunnel across the Long Island Sound. Now, I've always been opposed to a bridge across the Sound because I don't want Long Island to simply be a stopping point on the way to New England. People say, you know, Long Island's a dead end. Well, you know what? I prefer to think of it as a cul-de-sac. All right, that just sounds better. Making it just part of an interstate road going from, say, Jersey to Rhode Island, I don't think that would do anybody any good, not here anyway. It would make truckers happy who are going from Boston to Philadelphia, but nobody else really. But this is different. This is something that's not about cars. It's about trains, and it could just make things a lot more efficient and interesting. The Federal Railroad Administration last month released its draft environmental impact statement for its Northeast Corridor Future Project, which aims to improve the reliability, capacity, connectivity, performance, and resiliency along the busy 457-mile rail corridor stretching from Washington, D.C. to Boston. Now, in that report, the administration, which initially considered 98 different plans to improve service along the corridor, whittled it down to three specific alternatives. And among those alternatives is a proposal to extend the high-speed intercity rail network from Penn Station to Ronkonkoma. Ronkonkoma, the same Ronkonkoma that's a little bit south of Stony Brook. Yeah. Then, after that, north across Long Island Sound and into New Haven, Connecticut. The route would terminate in either Providence, Rhode Island, or Worcester, Massachusetts. Now, it's a lot more ambitious than the two other plans that are being considered, which basically just entail adding tracks and making other improvements along portions of the existing corridor. This Long Island plan, known as Alternative 3, effectively transforms the role of rail, that's according to the study. Expanding the Northeast Corridor onto Long Island would do more than double the volume of intercity rail trips, according to the study. It would also result in the greatest cost savings for travelers among the options considered and create the most jobs, more than 24,000. But the Long Island plan would also be the most expensive of all the proposals, costing an estimated $290 billion, more than twice as much as the next costly option. A rail spokesman said that the cost estimates are highly conceptual. Now, the administration expects to select the final plan late next year. Hasn't figured out where we get the money to fund any of it yet. But this was very exciting to me to think that this was actually being considered. I looked at the map, and apparently it would use existing rail to get out to Ronkonkoma. They'd probably have to build something additional for the high speed train. But then after Ronkonkoma, the route would come north, and at some point it would probably come up along Nichols Road, which is the road that comes to Stony Brook.
Right.
Maybe in the middle of it or on the side or something like that. And then at some point, right around Route 347, the Wisconsin Highway, it would go underground. It would go underground and start a tunnel under the Sound, under the Long Island Sound, and emerge in Connecticut. Now, you know, I'm sure there's all kinds of people that would get all upset at the fact or the possibility that something like this would be happening in their neighborhood. But I think it would be really, really cool to have a high-speed train passing through or passing under, whatever the case may be. Think about it. You could get on a train in Ronkonkoma and go to D.C. or go to Boston fairly easily, and it would actually be a significant improvement in high-speed rail in this country, which is something that's very, very rare. We see this all the time overseas. We see new routes open up all the time. We see basically you can get anywhere from anywhere. It would be nice to see something like this. Everyone says, of course, it'll never happen, and that's kind of the problem. That's our attitude, that things like this can never happen.
And it should really be the opposite. It should be, why don't we have 5, why don't we have 10 other things like this going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. When we took the train out to Montauk, I was impressed that we were able to get to Montauk by train. That's kind of cool. But it wasn't very fast. But it could be. It could be improved. And when we pass Spionk, I noticed that there's a siding to the north of Spionk where all these trains are parked. And that could be extended. They could extend that so that it connects to the North Fork, to the rail in Greenport, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Or somewhere around there. So you could get from North Shore to South Shore a lot easier than you can now. Right now, if you wanted to go anywhere on the South Shore, there's no easy way to do that unless you find a bus that happens to be going that way. If you wanted to do it by rail, you have to, best case scenario, go all the way into Hicksville.
Right.
In Nassau County, and then come back onto the South Shore. More likely, though, you probably have to go to Jamaica. it's really ridiculous. There's not a single north-south route that's available for people to get from one place to another. And there just aren't enough. There aren't enough connections. It's the best in the country, though. This area is the most built up as far as rail service, but it's... It still could stand quite a bit of improvement, and
I like the idea of being able to go up that far along the coast, like New England, instead of being on what, Metro North.
Well, depends how you did it,
or what would be Amtrak.
If you wanted to take Amtrak
interstate,
you'd have to go to Penn Station.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, or you could take the boat to Bridgeport,
okay,
and then run and get the train there. And
yeah,
I say run because the ferry schedule and the train schedule have absolutely nothing in common.
No consideration. Okay.
I took a ferry there once, and I just in time to see an Amtrak train pulling out. Like they couldn't, you know, schedule it so it came 5 minutes earlier, so people might want to make that connection. But it didn't matter; no one was making the connection anyway,
yeah,
because they were realists and they know this is never going to work in this country.
Hmm.
So unfortunately, that's
well.
The
let's
things.
Erase that attitude. Let's be real enthusiastic-ists. Yeah,
2 times 8.
That.
All right, I'm worried
16.
About you. Yeah, that took you too long to answer that. I think the heat stroke is starting
to...
Yeah,
I just have to
well,
operate.
You're closer to the equipment than I am.
I need a couple more dials and we're out of here. No, go ahead. I'm interested. What's going on?
All right, well, we should have, you know, like a dead man switch in the studio.
On a spring?
Yeah,
where
like they do on the trains. Because that way, you know, you don't go through red signals because if you pass out or get kidnapped or something... You know, your foot's no longer there, and the train stops. If you release the dead man thing here in USB, the station would what would the station do? Well, it would emit some kind of
tone,
yeah,
or sort of some kind of jazz standard or something. I don't know.
Yeah, jazz standard. That's okay. I like that idea.
I don't know.
All right. Well. We'll think about that. Let's continue, though, along this vein.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah.
Hyperventilate off mic, please. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
In that corner there. So the train thing will never work. People will shoot that one down. Okay, you know what? If expense is your reason, think about the amount of income that it would generate. Think about the number of jobs it would create as well. I did the calculation. Somebody was talking about building the AirTrain to go to LaGuardia Airport as well as Kennedy Airport, and I did the calculations. They were hemming and hawing about how much it would cost, and conservatively speaking, as far as how many people would use it in the course of a year,
yes,
I just basically guessed as to what that might be. It was something that was. A bit less than Kennedy Airport's traffic. A $5 fare for each one, this thing would have been paid for in a year, just with the fares. So I don't understand how cost is even an issue when you can generate that cost back by having people use the service. Even
what?
If it took 10 years, but within a year, they would have paid for the whole thing. So why not?
Yeah. Well, at least you don't have, like, decades of feasibility studies and environmental impact. I mean, that's how they'd rock it in Seattle. And then you'd get, like, a local coalition of council members who... You should be so lucky.
I'm all for environmental impact statements, but this is Queens, for God's sake. The environment has not been there in a long time, and whatever train you build on top of some other train or whatever on top of a concrete road, it's not going to make that much difference, I don't think.
Good point.
I just don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, but here's something else. Do you know that there are plans to have a solar farm in Kings Park?
Oh, that's cool.
Kings Park is near here.
That's the loony place with the guards.
Would refer to it as the loony place. You mean the former mental institution that was there.
Former mental rehabilitation hospital care. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I thought you just got a parking ticket in Kings Park or something. That's how you refer to them. They used to have the Kings Park Psychiatric Center. In fact, the buildings are still there, but the patients have long since wandered away.
We talked about this on a whole show, and we were suggesting maybe become an art sculpture, and we had no idea what possibilities were out there, and this is kind of interesting.
Well, okay. Basically, there are plans to build a solar farm in Kings Park. We've talked about solar farms out east in Shoreham and other places, but this is actually out west a little bit. So those plans to build a solar farm have prompted health concerns by residents and drawn ire from a partner in a multi-million-dollar multi-sport complex and training center approved for construction on an adjacent property. Yes, it gets better. Kings Park Solar LLC, a subsidiary of BQ Energy, which is a Poughkeepsie-based renewable energy company, submitted a special exception request to the Smithtown Town Board to permit a public utility facility on about 27 acres on Old Northport Road. Mm-hmm. The site includes an existing golf driving range. Now, the application calls for installing about 18,000 solar panels on the property, a former town-operated landfill. I'll say that again, a former town-operated landfill that will produce electric power purchased by PSEG. Now, BQ Energy has built more than 36 solar and wind farms on landfills and underused land in the Northeast. They were awarded a 20-year contract last year to sell electricity to PSEG at the Kings Park location. Now, as part of the project, the State Department of Environmental Conservation is requiring BQ Energy to consolidate two piles of contaminated construction and demolition waste placed on the site by previous owners, cap it with a gas vent layer and three additional layers, and monitor it.
That's serious remediation.
Yeah, yeah,
you gotta do that.
But here's the thing: the people turned out at this public hearing on November 19th.
God.
Neil Rosenberg, 81, president of a homeowners association for a condominium complex north of the site, said he read online literature about radiation and noise coming from solar sites. There are too many unknowns in our opinion, he said. We do not at this time accept the project. Okay, Neil. First of all, it's being built on top of a former landfill. For God's sake, where were you when that was in operation, concerned about the health effects of a landfill? A solar farm. It's collecting the light of the sun and turning it into energy. You know, short of a rendition of Kumbaya, I could not get any more hippy-dippy than that.
He doesn't believe in the moon landing, I guarantee it.
Well, how about Stanley Salmers, also 81, of Kings Park? And I'm not saying anything about octogenarians here.
How close
to
Kings
the
Park
article.
Were these people interviewed?
You mean the mental institution?
Yeah.
I don't know. Stanley Salmers said he suspected the project would produce radiation and methane gas and play havoc with the health of my neighbors.
What about...
How does collecting solar rays produce radiation, exactly? The sun produces radiation. Maybe that's what they...
His neighbors probably produce more radiation than methane gas.
Ooh, yeah. Kenny Henderson, a member of Prospect Sports Partners, LLC, which received site plan approval in July to build the sports complex, which has no health effects whatsoever, said he was attracted to the area because of existing recreational uses, including a roller hockey rink and a tennis facility, which, with his business, would create more than 70 acres of contiguous recreation on Old Northport Road. Henderson said since Kings Park Solar's application, about 15 prospective tenants have said they are no longer interested in renting. Now we're absolutely 100% uncertain if we can build this, plain and simple, because nobody wants to come behind the solar panels. Kids and public utilities don't mix, he said. So let me see if I understand this. You got approval to build this this massive sports complex with I don't even know, they don't say what they're going to put in this sports complex, but because down the road a ways somebody has a solar farm, that's scaring people away from coming to a sports complex because they're afraid of the solar panels, the sun.
I think he and his
green energy. What is it they're afraid of?
Dead children, I think. He's invoking the dead babies argument.
Well, there'll be more dead children inside a sports complex, I'll bet, from having a ball hit them in the head or something than anybody being hurt or injured at a solar camp.
On top of a landfill.
I was trying to think, how would you injure somebody at...
A solar farm?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could tie them to the bottom of a solar panel.
No, you can't, because...
Why not?
We went to one of these projects,
right.
And I saw some fencing that was going around the perimeter of the solar farm. I specifically noticed a fence.
Okay, all right. But if somebody really wanted to get hurt at a solar farm, they could climb the fence. And
it was
then,
tall.
Okay. They fall off the fence. They fall off the tall fence trying to trespass onto the solar farm. There you go. Head injury right there. You can't build things with
fences.
They
had signs. They had signs on the fence.
Oh, and what does that do for people that can't read? You're just making them feel bad, suicidal. Then you've created a monster by making signs that people can't read. Nice work, Kyle. Nice work.
Or the words just frustrate them so much that they have some sort of stress incident, panic.
You know, we're undergoing heat stroke here in the studios, but even in our altered state, we can't come up with a good reason why people should be scared of a solar farm.
It just sounds like, okay, it's an eyesore, so he's really leaning on dead children is possible.
I don't. How did this happen, though? Why can't the proponents of the solar farm be scared of the sports complex? You know, why can't people say, we're afraid someone's going to throw a football and it's going to smash our solar panel.
Exactly.
And the glass will get in our eyes.
That's exactly. Why can't these arguments ever be like... But no, he brought suit or, you know, raises this consternation over the application because, golly, his, you know, sports complex is... God, it sounds like he has a complex.
Well, I just don't get this. This is another example of something that is so obviously good... Let me count the ways, okay? It doesn't look bad. It's not ugly. We pass many of these in Germany, and it's always something to like point out and say, oh, that's cool. Look at that. Kind of like a wind turbine, which these people are also afraid of. So you have something that's not ugly. It's not belching smoke. It's collecting energy, generating energy, saving money, saving the environment, not using fossil fuels.
It's something you could actually participate in as a customer. People could benefit. And support their utility by, you know, every dollar they put into the utility once something like that is online goes towards recovering costs, and you're paying for something that is less toxic or less dirty, quote, you know, for the environment, both immediately and globally as far as CO2 reductions. I think it's a worthwhile option as far as diversification out here in New York. And, I mean, we should have more of this kind of stuff as a part of what the utilities can use. Because guess what? If the utilities aren't encouraged to pursue these technologies...
Mm-hmm.
Guess what other technologies they're going to look at?
Yes, they'll look at nuclear, they'll look at coal, they'll look at all kinds of things that pollute and destroy,
and
that we don't have a handle on.
Westinghouse is selling them. They're selling 3 to China right now. Look them up. They're these little mini nuclear facilities. I mean, there are plenty of private industry types that would push you away from renewables. We don't need to push back from this kind of thing.
And while you're looking up things like this in China, look at their air. Look at their air in Beijing. Look at you can't see. It's like being in fog in the middle of the day. That's how bad it's gotten over there.
It is. It's pretty awful. They actually a week or two ago had a smog alert, and people were told to stay inside. And they had all these tips for surviving this really awful air quality.
It was more like a smog warning.
It was a smog, yeah, some kind of advisory. I mean, I don't know what we would call it or how it translates far as seriousness.
Most people walk around with masks on their faces now over there, too, so that gives you an idea of how serious this is.
Yeah, I mean, we can stop the sort of dystopia
mm-hmm.
that the people who are concerned about bottom lines aren't really thinking about occurring, and that will occur because it's not a part of their vision.
So anyway, look, the guy who founded the company that's doing all this up in Poughkeepsie says there's no levels of radiation associated with the project or reported health concerns with the more than 2,500 solar installations on homes and businesses throughout Suffolk County. The Suffolk County Planning Commission voted unanimously, 11-0, in October to approve the solar project in Kings Park. And according to Commissioner Michael Kaufman, we did not believe serious environmental or zoning issues would be created by approval of a solar site. It's essentially a polluted site that would be remediated. And that's really what this comes down to. You're looking at a landfill, a polluted site that was toxic. And what better thing to do than to turn that into something green, something that will actually generate something positive? Instead, you have people walking around saying that this is causing radiation and nonsense like that. Where were they when there was a polluted toxic waste dump right there on that same land? They weren't demanding that get out of town. In Shoreham, they weren't trying to kick the nuclear power plant that was keeping their taxes down. They weren't trying to kick that out. But as soon as somebody said, we're going to turn this golf course into a solar park, oh, my God, what if the children do something and I couldn't even follow their logic because it doesn't make any sense. So I hope people pay attention to this. The train thing, long shot, but this is something we can definitely get in the near future, and we should have more of them. In fact, I'll say, how about making it a requirement if you're going to build a sports complex that you also have a solar farm next to it? I think that's a good mix.
Or a solar roof.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but you should be giving more back, not just for your own energy needs, but for the community as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a sort of cost-cutting thing that you would design or build into a design when you're doing the whole design from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
These kinds of repurposing of areas. And it really is remediation. I mean, it did sound like built into that is the venting, right? The capping of the landfill. Was that already done?
That was part of the condition of getting the solar farm. So they're actually giving a lot more back than just the solar power.
So they might even be able to harvest natural gas from capping the landfill and then create another source of energy. Or at least they're going to properly sort of close the site, or at least monitor, cap and monitor is, I think, the term. But, yeah, I mean, if that's included in the deal, gosh, I mean, they're actually going to do more with this landfill than anybody is willing to do in the process of building this new power generation mode. Wow.
It's just, I find myself at what I think is a logical end of an argument, and I find myself losing more than winning. Yes, of course a solar farm is good. Why wouldn't you want that? Yes, of course high-speed rail is good. Why wouldn't you want that? Yes, health care is good. Why wouldn't you want that? Gun control is good. What the hell is wrong with you people? Things like that. I'm always on the wrong end of these arguments.
Yeah. Well, you're not. It's that people are slow and they're not up to speed with some of the real advances that have been made, and solar is one of them. In the last year or two, the price is halved. I was looking at instructions for building something that involves solar, and their estimations from a couple of years ago were like double what the costs are now. So it makes no sense to resist trying new things, and especially stuff that diversifies something so important as energy.
Yes.
Exciting stuff. I'm sure we can talk more about this.
Before I almost passed out a moment ago, I was leaning over to look.
Did you see it?
No, I couldn't because whoever designed this place puts the clock so you can't. Oh my God, is that right?
Well, yeah.
6:54?
Yeah, and we started really, really on time. But I'm going to say you have 3 minutes.
Well, okay, can I go over Europa League
quickly,
then? Because
quickly.
Well, you can't rush the Europa League, Kyle. You can't do that.
Easy does it.
All right, so listen, last week was the final part of the group stage in Europa League, and because of all the teams that we randomly started following last year in England's FA Cup, we wound up becoming fans of FC Midtjylland. Did I say it right that time?
Midtjylland, yes.
A Danish team.
Of course.
And they just barely made it because they tied the Belgian team. And by tying them, they got enough points to go through in second place in Group D. Napoli and Midtjylland made it through. And that's good. That's good news. That means we'll make it to the round of 32. Now, the round of 32 is interesting because you wind up with 24 teams that have come through from the group league, where you had all these groups of four teams and the top two of each group made it through. But then you have eight more teams that join the fun who get bounced down from the Champions League. Champions League is another competition taking place with teams that are of a slightly higher caliber, ones that finished higher up or won more championships.
It's like their concession. You know, it's like, you can still play. And it's like they're warmed down.
Yeah. Well, this actually happens a couple of times throughout the competition where teams that lose in the Champions League get bounced down to Europa League. But it happened for the final time because they had their group stage as well. And all the third-place teams in the various groups, eight groups in Champions League, third-place teams get bounced down to Europa League. So that's what just happened. You might have, in fact, heard a story that Manchester United was eliminated from Champions League. What that means is they bounced down to Europa League, and they'll be playing in the round of 32. Now, the seedings took place, or the matches were announced yesterday. And our team, Midtjylland, was paired against Manchester United. Yeah, so we're kind of screwed as far as that goes. The way it works now is you play two legs, one at home, one away. That's going to start in February, and I think after that we'll be following Manchester United because I don't see how this team that's never been this far before can possibly beat them. But then again, Manchester United's having an awful year, so it's possible, but not very likely. All right, you know what? I'm out of air. It's so hot in here. I don't think there's anything more we can do. And plus, we're at the end of the hour. Sorry, we didn't get to take phone calls.
Yeah, try calling us next week, and presuming we make enough time for calls, we'll take it. And until then, you could write us otw@2600.com. Good night, E.
Good night, Kyle. Let's wheel us out of here. I want to get some ice cream or something. Or maybe just some ice. Or
yes?
Dive into some water.
Nice, icy...
It's hot inside, it's hot outside.
Pool of water. All right, have fun, everyone.